This is Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Gotta go feed the horses, gotta give them hay. Gotta go feed the horses because it's a brand new day. Gotta go feed the horses, gotta feed them now. Gotta go feed the horses because horses need the chow. No time for coffee, can't take time for me. Gotta take care of the animals, so many mouths to feed. Gotta go feed, got to go feed. Chickens, gotta gather eggs, gotta go give them crack corn so they don't refuse to lay. Gotta go to the hen house before the morning's through. I can hear that rooster singing cock-a-doodle-doo. Procrastination, get out of that bed. Each and every morning, everybody must be fed. Gotta go feed, got to go feed.
Links on the same chain.
the pony, the Paso's Palominos. They're in my dreams, they keep me smiling, yeah. When I go on to the next life, I know I'll be riding. They fill our days, they grace our lives, our hearts beat the same. Those of us who feel this way are links on the same chain, kindred spirit everywhere. This love of horses that we share.
Kennedy is a Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter, a horsewoman, and a friend. Marianne, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Gary.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on. I've had Marianne Kennedy withdrawals for most of 2014. So here we're almost into July, and I haven't had you on to talk with you. We play your music on a regular basis, almost every week. But
yay,
sure glad to have you on the show with us today.
Well, I'm thrilled and honored once again to be your guest, so thank you.
Well, thank you. Hey, you know, you did something that was very exciting that we want to talk about today with our audience, and that is Light Hands Horsemanship Clinic. That was, and I'm going to probably get this wrong, but was that St. Inez Valley, California? How do you pronounce that?
I think they say Santa Inez. Santa Inez. It's in the wine country, about 30 minutes north of Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that beautiful drive on Highway 101 is usually the way I go up there from the airport, where the ocean's on the left and all these beautiful rolling hills that I fantasize riding my horse through are on the right, just these sloping low mountains and, of course, lots of yellow grass, not all this green stuff that we have here in the Tennessee Valley that, you know, I'm roundupping and trying to, which I hate to use, but shoot, we have almost too much, as you know. Out there, it's quite dry, quite arid,
right,
and
right,
really more indigenous to horses, but it's just a beautiful place, Gary.
Well, I've seen photographs. I've never been to that area, but I know that's real horse country right there, too. So a lot of horse farms. Yeah, tell us a little bit about, since we're talking about horse farms, can you tell us a little bit about Art Perry's Intrepid Farms? Because that's where the event has been held for 8 years now.
Right, and it's just a beautiful, it's right in the town. It's in Santa Ynez Valley, but I think, now let me see if I can get this right. Los Olivos is the actual town that his little ranch is in. And I say little, I mean, it's not that little. As little ranchettes go, it's beautiful, a beautiful home, beautiful barn and grounds. It's only about, I think he only has about 10 acres. But, again, out there, there's so much riding, beautiful riding land close by, and people mostly feed hay out there. You know,
right.
Any of the places that do have pasture, it's all irrigated. But it's a beautiful facility, and, boy, I'll tell you what, Tom Spaulding and Debbie Beth Holacomy, they just do a top shelf event there. Everything from gourmet food, lunches and dinners, including, you know, local wines. And it's just, it's one of the more high-end yet down-to-earth because there aren't that many people, and it's like family. It's a wonderful event.
Right, right. Well, and I think after having been there 3 years, you said it was just like a homecoming to come back and visit with people that you've worked with.
Yes.
And met and
yes.
Studied with. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. But, a lot of my my Pirelli friends from out in the California, Dave Ellis and his wife Jody,
mm-hmm.
And on and on, Julie Rentro Cross, Grace and Louie. Oh, how do you say their last name? Anyway, I always mess up these Spanish names. But wonderful friends and people. Then we're all, of course, what we share is this extreme passion of continuing to get better for our horses.
Right. Well, as that song said, this love of horses. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what Light Hands really is. What is lightness?
Well, I mean, that's a really loaded question, and I don't know that I can answer it simply or explain how someone gets it. It's a concept that comes down from Tom Dorrance and all the greats, that every time you come in contact with your horse, It's all about is the lightest phase possible to start.
Right.
Because the lighter you are, the lighter you'll be. But that's a very, very simple statement that has a whole lot behind it. The lighter you are, the lighter you'll be. They'll be. And like Pat Ferrelli and Ray and all these guys have taught this whole wonderful entourage of horsemen and clinicians who are now gracing the world with this knowledge. In order to get that, sometimes you have to know when to up your phase. So timing, like Ray Hunt said, feel, timing, and balance.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
like Pat says, it's that balance of love, language, and leadership. And I would say probably in the herd, the lead mare is the lightest horse out there as far as the way she communicates with the herd.
Right.
All it takes is perhaps a breath, perhaps the smallest movement of her eye. And boy, you know, horses get that. And if they don't get it, if there's a young foal who's disrespectful about her space or bubble, that mare knows just how long to look and do lower phases, and then when to run and bite his butt.
In that
language, that conception creates lightness. And I'm not saying, you know, we don't go bite their butts, but if we're asking lightly and not getting anything, like Ray Hunt says, you have to do what it takes. No more, no less, but do what it takes to get that response. And then reward the slightest try. So that timing of release and reward, all of that stuff that we're aspiring to, that's lightness.
Okay.
That leads to lightness. Mm-hmm.
You had there's an expression that they use, and I'm gonna see if I can make sure I get this right. Light hands horsemanship is equine learning from birth to maturity. Now, you can take that two ways. It could either be the horse's birth to maturity, or it could be it could be our birth to maturity.
I think it's both. And, of course, I think also what they're talking about there is the wonderful Dr. Robert Miller, one of the clinicians, one of the teachers in this group of horsemen. You know, he came up through observation, really, of in his veterinary practice years ago, pardon me, with the concept of imprinting.
Mm-hmm.
So the little foal hits the ground. And, of course, the mother is, you know, protective and doing her licking and her thing to nurture this little guy to get up and start drinking and start moving on those little soft hooves as quickly as possible. Well, at that time, when we get our hands in a kind way of reassuring on that foal, that makes a difference through the lifetime of that horse.
Right, right, right. Well, it really does. Horses are sensitive animals. They have a great memory, and the way that they're treated when they're young can make a world of difference for the rest of their lives. And also, if they're treated properly, it makes it a lot easier for the next person that has to work with that horse. So,
right. If they're in
really important.
Of course, we're always earning their trust each and every time, and always teaching each and every time we're around them. But
right.
If they have that trust, if they don't have that fear, i.e. fear equals flight, in them, response in them, because they did have that kind hand at the same time that they came into this world, wow, how wonderful. You know, I'm sure we've all, or many of us probably have dealt with rescue horses or dogs who perhaps didn't have such great experiences and who knows how many emotional wounds they have.
Right.
And as we know, sure takes a longer time, and sometimes you never get all the way through to fix it once they have that fear and distrust.
Well, that's true. That's true. And again, that's true both with our animal friends and our human friends. So take care of everybody, you know, animals and horses.
Yep.
You know, let's talk just a little bit about the clinicians that were there, because this was an all-star lineup, and I have them. I don't know if you do or not, but if you wanted
yeah.
to just say a little something about these folks that were there, and I guess start with eight.
Eight and Beth Holakamy, from the Sacramento area, grew up in Israel, then studied at the Spanish School of Riding. Anyway, here he is over there learning the stuff, and he wants to be a cowboy.
Right.
So here he is at the Spanish School of Riding and just kind of, you know, starting out, shoveling saws and all this stuff, and worked his way up to have the opportunity to learn from the greats over there. But his idea was still, you know, the Westerns and the the kind of cowboy mentality and look. Let me say look more than mentality that was shown on TV. And he
right.
aspired to also then studying the, which it's very much aligned. Great horsemanship is great horsemanship, whether you wear breeches or jeans, you know.
Right, right.
Whether you wear a little helmet that's covered in velvet, or you wear an awesome, you know, cattleman's brim hat. So
right.
his idea was to take this wonderful discipline, but ride horses in the beautiful Western tack. And that's what he's aspired to do, and came up with this whole concept that's called cowboy dressage. And that's a whole other, you know, paragraph that we'll go into next. But
right.
Jack Brainerd, who's another legend, and talk about lightness. I mean, he was teaching that. He started the American Quarter Horse Association, one of the founders, many, many years ago. The man's 93 years old and still goes out to the arena and directs his people who ride for him and teaches them and teaches clinics all the time. He's 93. He's
wow.
running on his passion. Yeah, running on his passion. I mean, really, Gary, it's amazing. And anyway, they were at some events, Jack and Dr. Bob, as we call him, Robert Miller, were at some event and witnessed Bates riding, I'm not sure if he was riding that Palomino saddlebred or his wonderful Morgan Bay stallion, Santa Fe. Both of which are they're just stunning, stunning animals. And then the way he rides again in this light collection. And you know, doing the pee off and the Spanish walk and all this stuff, but in cowboy attire in this beautiful Western tack.
Right.
And Robert said, I don't think I have ever seen a more beautiful horseman, you know, ride in Western, riding like that. I mean, it's one thing to see someone with a lot of contact and dressage, and that can be awfully light, too. But to have the one-handed, more of a Carol kind of stuff in the dressage moves.
Right.
Anyway, they became friends, and that's kind of how this concept of showcasing Eitan and others who are of this, who maybe the world didn't know about as much as some of the people who have been out there teaching and doing, like the Bucks and the Pats and the Ray Hunt.
Right.
These guys were not, they just hadn't had those opportunities to kind of be showcased and teach the world until that day. And it became their goal to join together with some like-minded horsemen, not only talk about foundational stuff, but really teach higher-end discipline lightness. So hence the cowboy dressage movement, which is a wonderful, you know, handshake organization that folks can look up online.
All right.
And read about that and get involved. So anyway, that's two of the guys. They befriended, and now Tom Spaulding, let me say this. Tom Spaulding, who owns Spaulding Fly Predators.
Right.
Integral part of making this happen. He's the sponsor of this event. Tom is also a very, very, not only is he a brilliant marketing business genius, he has a great love of horses, of course.
Right.
And putting together beautiful, beautiful events, joining people and sharing this with the world. He's also a tech head, so he loves all this killer video and audio stuff, which, hey, has worked in my favor. He actually is gifting every subscriber to the Fly Predator program this year a collection of my songs, a CD, a special CD that Tom Spaulding gifts folks. So, hey,
that's great.
You get some, you get awesome Fly Predators, and you get some gifts, and one of them is a collection of some of my music. And
some awesome music,
Thank you. And yeah, that's the gift this year. He's had others. And he also, just for everyone to kind of soak up more of this, if you go to Spaulding-labs.com, go to their website, incredible footage of not only, I don't know if they have this year's stuff up yet, but the past few years, incredible footage of these guys, Lester Buckley, Richard Winters, John Ensign, who's another just fabulous colt starting kind of horseman out of, I believe, Montana. Sheila Varian. She's a legend in the Arabian world. In 1952, she started Varian Arabians, and really on a wing and a prayer. And she developed some of the most sought-after Arabs on the planet.
And
she
still,
also was very,
still does, yeah.
And still does.
Yeah.
She highly influenced by Tom Dorrance, which, again, plays right in. To watch her ride in the California vaquero kind of techniques on her beautiful, laid-back yet gorgeous Arabs is just amazing. But you can, folks can kind of go on there and just stream these wonderful lessons.
Well,
by these guys.
I would encourage people to do that. I know that the first time that I became aware of the Light Hands Horsemanship Clinic was from a YouTube video that I found somewhere, and it was, you know, it was like 35, 45 minutes, and I was just absolutely fascinated by it. And I think in that particular video, it was 8 and Sheila, and you know, probably Dr. Bob in there as well, and probably Jack.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I remember more so 8 and Sheila because they were on horseback and were actually, I think, challenging each other. There was a little
competition. Weren't they also last year they were, and I didn't see them try this year, but last year they had this wonderful expo of the Garrocha pole. And that was Sheila and 8, and that was really neat to watch how you can use that tandem, like with another rider,
right?
To work on some different moves and control your hang out of this pole. Boy, you better be riding with your legs and your body. And it's really neat. Anyway, yeah, because they really honor the vaquero tradition.
Right. I want to take just a real quick break. I want to play Palomino. That's a song that I kind of associate with Etan Bethlacme and you. And
mm-hmm.
It's a great song. Where he included this in some kind of one of his videos or something, didn't he?
Yeah, and folks can Google Etan Bethlacme or Cowboy Dressage and Etan riding to Marianne Kennedy's song Palomino.
All right.
It's a beautiful YouTube.
Well, let's listen to Palomino. I want to come back and talk a little bit more about this vaquero style of riding. There was a clinician called Katrina Sanders that was
yes.
This year's event to address that. And so let's listen to Palomino. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we are just having a big time talking with Marianne Kennedy, and we'll be right back.
Palomino.
like the sun you always glow. I want to ride a golden palomino. I want to ride a golden palomino. I love to ride my golden palomino.
That's Mary Ann Kennedy's Palomino. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're talking with Mary Ann. And, you know, I wish you would just do a whole CD of this type of Hispanic rhythm.
Oh, kind of the Latin kind of feel?
I love it. I mean, it just, you know, people couldn't see me because we're on the radio, but I was actually up kind of dancing around and pretending that I had the...
Cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, it's great. I love that.
I love it,
love
too.
Love that song. Thank
you. And, you know, this year, again, I got to sing that while eight rode. I mean, so, you know, that's, I mean, kind of to get to why are you there, Marianne? to sing a song that is just really married to the essence of whatever clinician is out there,
mm-hmm.
and have them after they've usually it's after they've taught their little spot, their hour and a half, whatever.
Right.
Usually at the end, then they ride. Just make up a freestyle ride and do whatever moves them to one of my songs. And so this year again, he loves Palomino, and it's just so moving to watch him. Of course, he does have a new, I guess he's four now, very dark saddlebred with big white stockings, big white blaze, blue eyes, a beautiful new Palomino who is his current project.
Right.
So
well, he is a beautiful horse. But let's talk a little bit about the vaquero lifestyle. And you were talking about, and I'm going to let you pronounce the name of that pole again, so I don't just butcher that thing.
one of the tools, and of course there are masters in Spain who use this thing, but. And here as well, but it's called the Garrocha pole, and they're usually 13 feet long and wooden, and it's used as a tool to enhance your horsemanship. And, you know, I wouldn't advise that everybody, anyway, just goes out and grabs a piece of PVC and hops on their horse. They might be sitting up. In the dirt if they don't explode,
right.
And get the horse used to it and to do some study. Look online or get with your local vaquero horse teacher. I don't know.
Right.
We don't have that many of them around here, but we do have a couple actually in this area. But the legend of the vaqueros and how they train their horses, I'm not super, super schooled on it. There are books out there. But basically it is, of course, starting on the ground. And it always, you start your horse in a hackamore, not a snaffle.
Mm-hmm.
And you stay in the hackamore, bothal, whatever you want to call it, but it's really called a hackamore. Sheila Varian corrected us again this year. You achieve partnership and lightness in this hackamore before you go to putting metal in a horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, that's the general start. And again, I'm not the best one to explain this. Google it. Buck Brannaman, you know, he subscribes to this. A lot of the guys do.
Right.
You know, Pat,
right.
All these guys really, this kind of horsemanship was born from the vaquero, the vaquero traditions.
Right. Right.
So.
Well, and before we leave that poll, can you tell us a little bit about how they actually use that? I mean, I've seen some video of it, but what are they trying to accomplish with that? What does that?
Well, again, I have not. I'm not that privy to the actual history on the use of it.
Right.
Probably in Spain they used to use it. Instead of a rope, with the bulls. So there they are riding around, moving this cattle and moving the bulls, and they've got the stick.
Right.
And when I was in Spain with Ray Hunt, we watched this thing called bull tipping, and it's this very large, long pole, and that's what they do. They run up and can use it as a cattleman's tool to
mm-hmm.
push the little bull
mm-hmm.
over or herd him, and then. The horse has to get ultimately used to it, to that big stick, and it's not easy for the rider. But you can use it. For instance, talk about just putting the tip of it down, holding the end lightly with one of your hands, say your right hand,
mm-hmm.
and doing a circle around it. That pole stays on the ground. Boy, you're going to do a perfect circle, or you're
right.
going to know it. And you'll drop it, or it'll be quite uncomfortable. So you use it as a tool. You can be another rider can hang onto one end of it, and you have that one hand, and it really kind of forces you, kind of like the same concept of what Pat did with the tear stick riding. It forces you if you are not going to touch your reins, you're going to use your stick more, your carrot stick. It really, really forces the rider to become really, really acutely aware of what their body is doing.
Right.
Because
so it increases the seat and the leg aids and
absolutely,
really,
because
yeah,
the more you use your reins, the less they use their brains. So,
right.
Humans have a bad habit of micromanaging and hanging on, doing way too much with the reins. So all these are aids. Educational aids to get you lighter,
mm-hmm.
more in touch with riding with your whole body. As far as the rest of the history on the Grocha, I don't know, guys. You're just going to have to Google it. I guess I will, too.
Well, we probably will want to Google it and make sure we check out some video, because I've watched some of that, and it's just pretty fascinating to see how there are different tools, different aids that people use to help accomplish, and I think all of this is to help accomplish lightness, because
mm-hmm.
when you develop the seat, when you develop the legs, you're staying out of their face, you're staying out of their mouth, and
yes.
riding in a light manner.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about Dr. Miller, because, again, he was one of the folks that was initially involved in starting this. And tell us a little bit about Dr. Bob Miller.
He's just a real, Dr. Bob and his wonderful wife, Debbie, have a fabulous ranch out in California, I guess not too far from Los Angeles, because that's where he practiced when he was a young man. He's still very, very active in the equestrian world, speaks at a lot of veterinary conferences, has written he has a little library full of books. And, again, I highly recommend you check them out. And videos, everything from imprinting to the history of horsemanship. I think he and Rick Lamb, didn't they co-write Natural Horsemanship Defined?
I believe
so.
Yeah, I believe they did write a book together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, I wanted to mention as well that the one and only Rick Lamb is the MC at this event. And, Rick's, we've known each other now since I came out with my first record back in 2002, and that's about the time he came on the scene. And he's a musician. He's a bass player and kind of, used to play in the clubs and everything, so we have that in common as well.
Oh, wow.
He's a wonderful energy and just the best, smoothest MC out there, and I always enjoy seeing him too. But Dr. Bob, he just, like I said, he's still teaching. I mean, he learned so much through the years of his practice, and he still rides. In fact, he and his wife train and ride and show mules.
Oh,
and,
really?
You know, that's beautiful mules. And that's challenging. Like Pat Pirelli says, you have to treat a mule the way you should treat a horse. Amen. High five, hey Gary.
That's right. I mean, I love all equine, but I've ridden a mule one time as a favor for someone, and I said that was my last time.
Well, if they have been mistreated or you know, whatever they learn, boy, it sticks, whether it be good or bad. But anyway, they can be fabulous. There was a gal demonstrating cobbler dressage at Light Hands, and she rode a beautiful, just beautiful, really a beautiful quarter horse body with really elegant mule head.
Uh-huh.
But they can be, you know, they can be fabulous, but you got to be on your toes.
Yeah,
you make a mistake, and you spend a long time, you know, making up for that, correcting that mistake. But anyway, but Dr. Bob, you know, last year I wrote him, Tom and I talked about it. I had decided the year before, my first year at Life Hands, that I really, you know, I had known Dr. Bob through the Pirelli world and all these different equestrian fairs and everything through the years. Of course, David Litchman is a mutual friend. And I decided after the first year, 2 years ago after Life Hands, that I really wanted to write a tribute song for him. And so I wrote, that's when last year, I wrote It All Starts Here. And we debuted it and surprised Dr. Bob with it last year. Tom Spaulding put together a wonderful video, and Debbie helped find all this old footage. And it's very, very moving. I think that's available to be seen now on the Spaulding site as well.
Okay.
But the song is available through my website.
Okay.
It all starts here. Anybody who's a breeder and deals with that joy, especially every spring, baby, all those foals, boy, this is a theme song for you. You'll love it.
All right. Well, we want to take a break and listen to another one of your songs. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Mary Ann Kennedy.
What is this love that runs so deep? We try to be the best that we can be for them with every stride and every move. It's up to us to prove. It is a dance between horse and man, spirit in you. When I ride you in perfect harmony, when you carry me, their hearts are big, their bodies strong, their feet are sure. It's up to us to mirror them with every step and every touch. We will earn their trust. It is a dance between horse and man. When will lead. I want you to believe in me.
Talking with Mary Ann Kennedy on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we had just been talking about Dr. Bob Miller, and just an amazing gentleman, as so many of the folks are that are involved in this Light Hands and Horsemanship event. And we're beginning to run out of time. We've got to get you back again, Mary Ann, because
okay,
yeah, it's just,
I just,
you know.
Before I leave, lest I forget, that's a pun, to mention Lester Buckley. Lester Buckley, like I mentioned, John Ensign, of course, Jack Brainerd, geez. I mean, all of these, Richard Winters, they're just the most wonderful people and awesome horsemen. Please check out through the Light Hand site and the Spalding opportunities there through Spalding. Check these guys out, learn from them, soak it up, and just enjoy watching them ride. It's a work of art.
Well, you know, they're all just extremely talented clinicians, and
mm-hmm.
You know, I guess when they call this from birth to maturity, each of the clinicians, starting with John Ensign, starting with young colts.
Mm-hmm.
Starting colts all the way through to finished horses would be what the theme of this clinic is, and what 4 days of great clinics that were going on out there. So
yes, the first day is kind of a tour, and then there are three solid days. And let me say, this year was the last year at Intrepid Farms. Art is getting on up in years and decided that he's going to sell that property. And so Tom and Debbie Bethelacamy, another just, you know, Aiden's wife, who's a fabulous woman and horseman, they're out there right now scoping new facilities, and we don't know where it will be next year.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, surely there's some place back east of the Mississippi that might be appropriate.
That's what I'm voting for, but and they may even have two. I doubt it, but they might expand it, and so it'll be a surprise. But hey, as we say, stay tuned. Yeah.
Well, this Light Hand Horsemanship, the cowboy dressage that Ate and Debbie have put together. Or is it something that people really need to get involved with? It's the lightness. It's being able to use the aids and to work with your horse in a way that you become partners. That's really, really so key in all of this. And
it is.
You know, and so many people know Mary Ann Kennedy as being a tremendous rider and a singer, but you are just an outstanding student of the horse and a horsewoman yourself. So. It's always fun to have you on and talk and visit with us. And so let's do this again, because really the withdrawals were getting to me. It's like, where's Mary?
Gary, I've missed you, and let's just regroup sooner rather than later this time. And thanks again for having me on the show.
All right, we'll love to talk to you anytime, and we're going to close out this segment with Horses and Life by Mary Ann Kennedy. And Mary Ann, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Gary.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Horses and life, it's all the same to me. Horses and life, the passion was born at birth. Until my last day on earth, it'll be life.
Equestrian Legacy Radio has been brought to you today by our great sponsors, found at the General Store and the Gallery at East of Santa Fe. Find everything for the horsemen and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store and the Gallery at East of Santa Fe at equestrianlegacy.net. There was a gathering at the Big South Fork in Tennessee at the end of May that brought trail riders from across the country together. Shannon Schraffnagel is the founder of Horse Trails and Camping Across America that put this event on, and we're joined by Shannon as well as James Clark and John Roop. Folks, welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having us, Gary.
Yeah.
Glad to have all of you with us. And Shannon, I'd like to start with you, and tell us what the purpose was for the event that you held up in the Big South Fork.
Sure, absolutely. So, well, for the folks that don't know about HTCAA, Horse Trails and Camping Across America, I had started it about, it's going to be 2 years this August on Facebook just for fun, and ended up growing and growing beyond my wildest imagination. So last year when we had about 8,000 members in September, we decided to start planning a national ride where we could all come and meet. And it ended up being hosted down in the Big South Fork at True West Campground. And then with that, we thought maybe we'd book that up, you know, within a couple weeks. And we ended up booking up True West within 3 days and then ended up booking up all the other campgrounds within just a few days. And we ended up having, we're not completely sure, but we're pretty sure we had about 300 people throughout Big South Fork, possibly more, because there were quite a few people that came just a trail ride as well, and we didn't see at the campground. So it was an incredible event, absolutely awesome, exceeded my expectations as far as getting to meet everybody. So that was the gist of that. And by the time we had the ride at the end of May, we were at just over 22,000 members.
Wow. Well, Horse Trails and Camping Across America has just been rapidly growing. I think it's the largest horse trail riding group on Facebook right now. But
yep.
What was the purpose for putting this event on?
Just really gathering everybody into one place. You know, it's obviously hard because we have members from all over the country, and including Canada. But, you know, at that time, like I said, we were just at 8,000. So we were just hoping to gather just a few, you know, members that could make it and meet up, be able to meet other members face-to-face, get out on the trails, and just enjoy what we, you know, do on Facebook, but but get to do it all together at once.
Right.
So
and
that
kind of,
was the goal, and yeah, we ended up meeting that. So
kind of put some names and some faces together, I guess, while you were doing all this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, James, let me kind of start with you. You're from North Carolina, just on the other side of the Great Smoky Mountains from where I am, and you've been riding for quite a while.
Yes, sir. I've been riding. My dad started me probably when I was about 5 years old, and it's led from there, and I've had a real good life.
Well, that's great. Now, how long have you been a member of Horse Trails and Camping Across America?
Oh, I don't know. Probably about the time it started along through there. I can't really remember.
I think so. Yeah,
right.
I think it's been since the beginning.
All right. And had you ridden in the Big South Fork before?
Yes, I've ridden up there a couple times before years ago, but you know, not in the last few years, but I'd read through there a lot.
Well, and let's take a minute to mention the fact that you have a campground yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I started one about 2002, and it was just on an accident. Some people wanted to know where a place was to parked the trailers. They were from Missouri, and I said, well, hey, I got 7 acres, you're welcome. And they taught me into putting in some stuff, and next year there's some people from Mississippi come up, Ricky and Cindy Hood, they come up, and it just led from there, and I just enjoy it so much.
And you have a few acres, a few miles of trails, I think, to ride from your place, don't you?
Oh yeah, there's 7 different trailheads here, and I think there's a little over about 350 miles here on the Carolina side.
Well, you could probably do that in a day or two, I guess.
Well,
with a good
it'd probably
horse.
Take me a day and a half.
Oh goodness! Well, John, and you're from up around the Bristol, Tennessee area, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Tell us, I think you probably haven't been doing trail riding quite as long. I think you told me, what, maybe a decade?
Yeah, I started, bought my horse about 10 years ago, and got hooked on it. Been riding for about 10 years now, and I've loved every minute I've had on the trail.
Right. And you're not too far from the Big South Fork. I think you shared with me that you had ridden there quite a few times before.
Yes. I first discovered the Big South Fork probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And on I think the first trip I went, I actually went by myself, and that was kind of a unique experience. And it was somewhat overwhelming, but I belong to a riding group, and we plan 2 trips a year, and then I will go with either a subset of that or some other friends at least one other time a year. So I probably made at least, you know, a dozen, 15 trips there.
Right, right. Well, James, let me ask you, what was it that inspired you to turn up at the Big South Fork for this first ever HTCAA trail ride?
Well, I was just enthused about getting up there to seeing who I could see and who I know, and I was totally shocked of how many people knew me that I didn't know them, and it was a very good experience. I enjoyed it big time.
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, I think you had a little fun with Shannon, too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
It seems like I saw a photograph that I don't know if she was paying homage or what she was doing. But
I had her right where I wanted her.
Like I said, James, you don't catch me apologizing on my knees very often. So you caught it with the camera. You better cherish that photo.
Yeah, I've got that framed here in the living room.
Let me stay with James for just a minute. Is there a particular, what did showing up for this ride mean to you? I mean, did you meet some people that you have, you know, maybe you're going to make lifelong friends with, or going to ride with again? Maybe come.
Oh, yeah. John's going to come down. He's on there with us, and he said he's coming down, and there's a lot of other people I give a lot of information out that was coming. And I saw a few people that I hadn't saw in a long time. And it was an awesome trip. I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, that's great. And John, you were telling me that you found some new places there in the Big South Fork as a result of coming to the HTCAA ride. Talk to me a little bit about what you saw and how did you find those places?
Well, when I went to the ride, I went by myself. I didn't know a single person, and had the desire to meet some other folks. Had some selfish reasons. I wanted to learn about some new places to ride.
Right.
So I went on one of the guided trail rides on Saturday, and I chose the longest ride. I think it was about 21 miles, which, you know, is a fair day's ride.
Right.
So I had never stayed at True West before, although I loved my stay, and I'm sure it will be the first of many. And the ride that Sean there at True West was taking us on was to some places I wasn't familiar with. They have some interesting names for some of the landmarks. Hippie Cave, Wildcat Den, Sawtooth Overlook. I just saw some of the most beautiful scenery. It was awesome, awesome time. I don't think I knew an individual. I hadn't met them during the week. I think most of them came from Saddle Valley to do that ride. And within 15 minutes, it was like we had been riding together for years. We had the most fun. It just couldn't get any better.
Well, yeah. And you were sharing something about meeting some folks from the West Coast.
Yeah. There was a lady from California that had her mule stabled right beside of my horse, and so we chit-chatted when we were feeding and those kind of things. And then we had the opportunity to have about a 15 or 20 minute conversation. I believe it was the last day we were there. So we stood there with our iPhones, and we got on Facebook and friended each other on there.
Right.
And she had taken, I think, about a week and a half, her and three of her other friends had taken a week and a half to get to the ride, and it stopped a couple of places. Well, she left there, and she went to Shawnee in Illinois. She went to Mount Rushmore, some other places in the I think the Dakotas, and I believe right now she's in Colorado. She is just the most awesome individual. We've exchanged comments on Facebook, and I've been privy to some wonderful pictures from her. I think that will be one of those lifelong friendships. Like I said, she's still traveling. Her other friends left to go home about a week or week and a half ago, but she's having the trip of a lifetime, I guess is what you would call it. And she may still be traveling when they have the next ride. I'm thinking she doesn't know how to get back to California.
Goodness. Well, you know,
well,
a lot
I
of
have
people...
to, Gary, I've got to interject on that, John. I believe you're talking about Pat French.
Pat and Susan.
And they, I was hoping to get Pat on the show today, but yeah, she is traveling, so she couldn't come on, but it was one of the best stories I had heard about the whole weekend. She was actually riding back in February with that group of women up on a mountain somewhere, and they had an accident, a pretty severe one, and Pat was injured really bad. And they ended up having a flight for life to fly her off the side of the mountain. And as they are in the helicopter, flight for life, Pat's got broken ribs, and she is a 75-year-old gal. Incredible lady. As they're flying in the flight for life, her friends look at her and said, "Don't worry, Pat, we're still going to make it to the HTCA ride in May." And they did. They did, absolutely. Yeah, John's right. Incredible group of women. So it was very neat to meet them.
That's pretty cool. Well, of course, our regular listeners know that we have you on once a month to talk about experiences out on the trail. And so try to get hold of Pat and see if you can have her join us for the next call. And let's talk a little bit about her experiences traveling across the country as well. So that would be pretty cool. We're going to take just a real quick break. We're going to do a song by Michael Martin Murphy called Mountain Storm. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. And, guys, I'm going to tell you, we had a little technical problem earlier on in the show. I don't know if I can close your mics and get you back open again. So I'm going to just leave you open. And so, Shannon, be careful about what you say to James in your apology, because we may hear that. But this is
We'll behave.
All right, behave. So we're going to listen to A Mountain Storm by Michael Martin Murphy. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Will grow cold, it will double rainbow through the pine. Oh, won't you wait a little while before you cry, before you smile? Love will grow cold and will grow warm. True love is like a mountain stream. Oh, won't you wait?
Equestrian Legacy Radio is a great way to grow your business and reach new customers. Equestrian Legacy Radio is heard worldwide by equestrians and people who love the equestrian lifestyle. By combining Equestrian Legacy Radio and our website, your message reaches more people 24 hours a day. Very affordable for businesses of all sizes. You can learn more about advertising with Equestrian Legacy Radio at equestrianlegacy.net. You know, I just wanted to mention to you guys, we have about 50,000 people each week that are listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're running a 4th of July special for folks that would like to sponsor our program, and you can visit equestrianlegacy.net to find out more about that opportunity. James and John and Shannon, I'm going to ask all three of you the same question. I know that a couple of you had some appointments that you needed to get to. So the question is after attending this first event with Horse Trails and Camping Across America, and John, I'll start with you. What is your takeaway from this?
Well, the biggest thing that I can say is that it is a great way to meet some of the most wonderful people you'll ever meet in any environment, and make some, what I would say, are some lifelong friends. You'll learn some great places to ride that you weren't aware of, and it's just a neat socializing experience, and I can't say anything bad about it. It was one of the highlights of my summer to attend that.
Well, that's great. James, what about you? Outside of the fact that you had Shannon where you wanted her.
Well, that was my highlight of the whole deal, I guess. But I agree with John that I made some friends. You know, it's friendships for life. And it's just an experience that everybody needs to try and just experience the friendship. And what really I liked a lot was everybody that was there was just there to enjoy themselves and just appreciate what God has made for all of us to enjoy. You know, that's my memory of it.
Well, that's great. And and I don't want to shortchange you here. Tell us the name of your campground, because you have a website as well. What's the name of your campground?
Okay, my name of my campground is Deep Creek Boarding Stables and Camping, and my website is deepcreekhorsecamp.com.
Okay. All right. Deepcreekhorsecamp.com, and you're located where?
I'm in Bryson City, North Carolina. I'm about 6 miles west of Cherokee, North Carolina, and about 60 miles west of Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay. Well, check out James's website, and that would be a great place to visit sometime during the summer and the fall, and enjoy his hospitality. And Shannon, I'm saving you for last because what did this mean to you, this first event?
Oh man, it was honestly outside of my wedding day. The highlight of my life. I can't even explain.
I'm sure that Jason is glad to hear that.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad I did something right.
And I have James to thank. It was just surreal. I mean, that was the only word I could use to describe the whole weekend. After getting to know so many people, that I've had the opportunity to meet just through Facebook through all of this and becoming such good friends with people from around the country and then going there. And I mean, I thought I had a good idea of who was going to show up, but when I got there, there was so many people that I didn't even know were able to make it, including James and John. You know, they probably mentioned at some point, and maybe I missed the post or the comment, but being able to see these people face to face and, just hang out with them and laugh with them and talk with them was an incredible experience for me. I mean, I've really had some definitely lifelong relationships made with these people before I even met them. So to me, it felt like, about the only way I can describe it is it felt like a big family reunion, you know, where you come and it's like, you know, there's going to be long-distance cousins and aunts and uncles and, you know, nieces and nephews that you might not remember, but suddenly when you see them, you do feel like you've known them your whole life. So it was a surreal thing because I had never met them face-to-face, but it sure felt like I had. So for me, it was just incredible, and it was very humbling to realize what HTCAA has become. Certainly, you know, has far exceeded the the original agenda I had when I created this 2 years ago. So to see it face-to-face, to see how it's affected people, and like James and John said, you know, coming there, I mean, those two guys, they came alone. And when I knew that, I saw James and John and another gentleman, Jim, I knew they had come alone. And I thought, gosh, I hope that, you know, they get in with a group and don't get left out. And, oh, my gosh, I should have never worried about that. People were so accepting to everybody else. And just, yeah, like they said, everybody was just, absolutely wonderful. There was no clicks. There was nobody getting left on the sidelines. Just an absolutely incredible, incredible event. And I will never, ever, ever forget it. I won't forget the people I met and the time I got to spend with them. People made fun of me because I didn't bring my horse down to my own trail ride. but glad I didn't because I got to talk with so many different people. I wouldn't have had time to saddle my own horse. And that's okay. I can ride my horse any day, but a lot of these people I'll never get to see again. And so that was what was special to me. Absolutely incredible, and I cannot wait to do it again.
Well, that's great. Did you get a chance to ride any at all while you were up there?
I sat on a mule for about 30 seconds and got my picture taken. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I kind of know how that is when you're putting on an event
yeah.
like that. So,
yep,
plans in place for your next event?
Well, yeah, we're definitely working on different ideas of what we want to do. Definitely because of the fact, and I should announce, today we actually hit 30,000 members. Just last night we did it 10:30.
That's
yeah,
great.
So we know with the next event we're going to do, we're really going to have to find a place that can accommodate a pretty large group where we all can be together because that was the one drawback with this. It got so big that it was very dispersed, so we didn't get to, you know, mingle with a lot of other members from different campgrounds. That was my one regret, but had we known that, you know, we only had 8,000 members at the time when we planned this, so we couldn't foresee that we would have, you know, been more than doubled, so... But yeah, so the next event, we're going to make sure we hold it, you know, a one individual site. And at this point in time, I'm thinking it might be in the Black Hills. We're going to try to head a little bit further west, get that way. We've got some members out that way that, you know, it was a little bit of a far drive to make it. But really what I wanted this ride to do was I don't want to just hold one main event a year. I want to make sure that we're holding events, and not necessarily events, but just announcing that there's a trail ride going to be somewhere in some mountain or some park or whatever, and encourage members to go and meet other members. That's what we took away from that ride. You know, like John and James said, the events itself that weekend, the entertainment was awesome, the food was great, but the biggest thing was just getting to meet those members was the funnest thing. So that's really what I want to, you know, embody going forward.
Well, that's great. Well, I think that we all know that that horse people are great great folks, and that we all share a love of horses. And so many folks enjoy spending time out on the trails and visiting new places. So it was great that you were able to put this first event on and that it was in our backyard. And I actually had a granddaughter that graduated that weekend, so I didn't get to make it. But we'll see what we can do about the next one.
There you go.
On there. So, hey, I know that you guys needed to run to make some appointments. I told you that we'd get you off in a timely manner. So, James, thank you for being on the show. And John, thank you. I appreciate both of you taking the time to join us and to share some of your experiences today.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
All right.
Thank you, Gary. It was my pleasure, too. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. And, Shannon, it's always fun to talk with you and find out what's going on with horse trails and camping across America. And you have any kind of an update? I know that you've been working diligently on a website, so do you have any news about that?
Yeah, still working. I've got some things coming up on and my personal side of life here that are possibly going to change my location of the headquarters for HTCAA. That's all I'm going to say on that for now. But so with that, there's a lot of changes for HTCAA coming up within the next couple months. So, of course, when it rains, it pours. It's all good stuff. But, I'm getting pulled in five different directions. So, but we are still in the works with the website, and we're still on track. So hopefully we'll get that up and running soon.
All right. Well, I guess the word would be to stay tuned.
There you
and,
go.
And when we'll keep up with that. Well, listen, Shannon, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and look forward to talking with you again real soon.
Wonderful. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. Well, we've had a big time talking with our friends from Horse Trails and Camping Across America. Always a pleasure to have Mary Ann Kennedy on the show and to share information with us. And let me remind you that you can visit her website. That's maryannkennedy.com. You can pick up some great music there and keep up with what Mary Ann is doing as well. So a fun show. As always, we thank you for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. You can tune in and listen to us online live every Thursday at high noon at Central Standard Time, and then listen to any of our shows that we've done on our archive podcast at equestrianlegacy.net. We remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.
Tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. She cut me loose and told me don't come back. Now I'm like a hobo by the railroad track. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Thank you. wanted me to put down roots, but I just couldn't grow them through these cowboy boots. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Yes, I'm drifting. Till then, I'm drifting again.